Now I'd like to call the order of the study session for May City Council for Thursday, October 20th, 2011. And the first item on the agenda is to hear a presentation and discuss once again the energy, but this is the Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant. Mr. Scott Shea, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, Mayor, Council. I'm here today to give you an update on the Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant. Just to give you a reminder, there we go. Going too far. City of Mason received from the Department of Energy $4.2 million as part of the stimulus program for energy efficiency. I was here back in April of 2009 and presented to Council on the proposed projects that we wanted to implement with these funds that were given to us by the Department of Energy. So I'm here today to give you an update on the project, talk about the energy savings. It was a good lead-in with the district cooling, the energy savings that we're seeing from the projects that we've implemented, and then talk about some of the next steps. I really would like to take a moment to just let you know this was truly a citywide effort. Thinking about it, I think every city department has been involved in this project in some way. Of course, some more than others, but really it's been a pleasure to work with everybody, and I just want to take a moment just to thank all the departments that have put in a lot of hard work on this project. So with that, here's a listing of the $4.2 million in the projects that we're working on. I'll go into detail on those. Some of these projects are complete at this point. Some of them are in the construction phase, but all of them are scheduled to be completed in time for the grant term. So the first one is a LED street lamp project. The help of transportation and purchasing, City of Mason installed over 2,500 LED street lamps in residential areas, City of Mesa. The estimated annual savings that we're going to get from these street lamps is approximately $28,000. And you see a 40% reduction in the energy use per lamp for these lamps that are installed. Next project was a, it's going quick on me. Next project is a lighting project. It was over 13 locations. It's a very large lighting project. And again, it was with the help of facilities and engineering and then the departments that were involved, including the police department, fire department, library personnel, the users of the building, making sure that they're going to have the proper lighting that they need for them to do their jobs day in and day out. This project, we're looking at over $113,000 a year in annual savings that we're going to have from that project and $30,000 in what's a one-time rebate from Salt River Project. In addition to that, we're installing a lighting control system out at the East Mesa Service Center that will allow us to dim the lights at certain periods of time so that we're using less energy. The lights aren't on all the time, and they're also not on at full power when we don't need full power for those lights. So another project that we have is a solar project. Again, this was one that it created a lot of effort from a lot of different departments within the city. The solar is actually located on the property of the Brown Road Water Treatment Plant, but is interconnected, so it provides energy to our park's Red Mountain softball facility. It's a dual tracking system, so it's a state-of-the-art system. This is the city's first utility-tied solar installation that we've paid for. So it was really a great effort that we used our engineering folks and our building safety folks, even though it was outside of our electric utility area, our energy resources folks, and the expertise that they have were helping us out with this project, and then parks and, of course, water resources and engineering. This is a system that it's a 25-year life for the solar system. We're saving approximately $45,000 a year from this system, and the way that savings is broken out is half of the savings is from the actual energy that's produced by not using energy from SRP, but in addition to that, we have what's called a performance-based incentive from SRP that they pay us per kilowatt hour for a 20-year period of time. And so that $45,000 savings that you see is really kind of half and half from energy savings, and then the other half is from the incentive that SRP is providing us for 20 years. Here's a quick snapshot of the spatial system that we use with SRP, and what this does is it allows us to track the energy production that's coming from those solar arrays.
Thanks, Scott.
What
did you say? What'd you call that? A spacious system?
Spacious system, yeah.
Say it again. I still
It's, and I'm going to have to put a quarter in the jar.
Spatia?
No, it's a Spatia, S-P-A-T-I-A, and it is an acronym that gets used so often. I apologize. I don't know the term for it, so I will pay my penalty in the jar. But it,
I think it's quadruple when you don't actually know what it means.
I think you're right.
That would be a dollar then.
There should be one for each letter also. It's that long.
All right, thanks.
This is an expensive question. Okay. What it is a system that allows us online to look at the energy production that's coming on a daily basis from the solar system. And so what we're doing is there's contractual obligations that the solar manufacturer has for how much energy that needs to be produced from that system for them to meet their obligations contractually. But in addition to that, since we receive a performance-based incentive, it's for the city's best interest to maximize the energy production that comes from that system. So we have staff that are looking at it on a weekly basis to make sure that that system is operating at its optimal capacity, to make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck out of that system. And you'll see when you see some of those dips, sometimes those are cloudy days that happen. And this is the system was just installed in June, and so there were some issues that we saw with the system that needed to be corrected, that the manufacturer was out and correcting those issues. But that's why we're taking a look at this on a periodic basis, just to make sure that we're getting the maximum energy production out of that system. Another project that we have, and you can see there's a wide variety of projects that we're doing here with this. We really tried to spread this money out as much as possible throughout the city to the different departments, is an aeration project at our Southeast Water Reclamation Plant. What we've done is we've lowered the horsepower of the motors that are used, the turbo blowers that are used to put air to the aeration system. In addition to that, we're installing a fine bubbler system, which it requires less airflow for the dissolved oxygen it provides. For that system to operate properly. This project's going to see a significant savings of about $150,000 a year to the city. And in addition to that, SRP, because of the energy savings that we're seeing from this, is we're estimating almost a $200,000 rebate. Again, that's a one-time rebate from SRP for the installation of this system. It's also one is if we see increases in that plant load, we'll see increased energy savings over time with that. Something that you're going to hear, so I'll keep it limited, is the Central Maine plan. John Wesley and Jeff McVeigh are going to be presenting on this plan right after me. Some people have asked of how can a zoning plan be an energy efficiency measure. Well, one of the goals of EECBG is the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. So through this plan, you're really facilitating with zoning sustainable development, reducing vehicle miles traveled, which correlates directly to reduced greenhouse gas emissions. So this is kind of a different one. You don't see an SRP rebate or any energy savings directly associated with this one, but it's really going to be a great tool for us as the light rail comes through, and I think it's what you guys were just hitting on, even with the district cooling and that building that you're talking about. One of the ones I'd like to thank council for your guys' help on this was the adoption of the energy code. This is an interesting project. When you look at the budgets that were associated with all the projects that we did, this was a $10,000 budget, and that's really for training and materials that we need for staff and for stakeholders that are involved in this. But the energy savings that we're going to see in the city of Mesa from this energy code is really going to be significant, because what it does is it establishes a performance baseline for energy efficiency in the city of Mesa. And it's something we didn't have before. So with the support of council, we now have an energy efficiency code in place. And really, this is going to affect new development and redevelopments as they come. So it's something that's, for a small amount of money, it's really going to provide a great impact for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions and energy conservation here at the city of Mesa. In addition to that, we are working with Siemens on a very large project, which was a comprehensive energy audit. We looked at 1.5 million square feet of facilities. It was 50 buildings and parks that we were looking at. We looked at wastewater treatment plants, street lamps, parking lots, and also solar places that would be the best locations for the installation of solar. I'll get into more detail when we talk about what our next steps are on this project, but this project has been complete. We've got a comprehensive report from Siemens with recommendations from it. So in summary, those are the projects that we were working on, and then you have EECBG as a program. With the stimulus, you know, the money was part of the stimulus program. There were a lot of strings that are tied to it in regards to record keeping and reporting requirements and those sorts of things. We've been audited several times on this program. We've been audited both by the Department of Energy, by our internal city auditors, by our external city auditors. I have to say I've been audited several times by regulatory agencies. It was the first time we received an audit. I received an audit report that had complimentary language in it. They did compliment the city of Mesa on the detailed record keeping that we had in place and making sure that we were conforming with the guidelines. And I really have to give credit to my staff and the accounting department for helping us establish those record keeper requirements right from the beginning. We were talking about that from the day that we got the announcement, before any money was spent. How are we going to track this money to make sure that when we do get audited, we are in compliance with it? And so everybody has just done a fantastic job on that, and I just wanted to thank them for their help on that. We are meeting our spending goals. This grant ends in 2012, end of August 2012. Any of the projects that haven't been completed as of yet are on schedule to be completed by that date. So we're meeting our spending goals associated with it. And I think the big one is with the $4.2 million, we really looked at it as $4.2 million of investment into the city of Mesa. Over the life of the projects that I described, we're anticipating approximately $8 million in savings over the life of those projects for the city of Mesa. So it's a great investment that's been made in regards to energy efficiency. Talking about the future, we're anticipating that energy prices are not going to go down. That's all this graph is just to illustrate that it's going to get more expensive for energy over time and into the future. So any kilowatt hour that we save today is going to be a more expensive kilowatt hour into the future. So the next steps, what we're looking at, there's folks in my office, Ed Charles and Janet Bunchman, that are working hard right now with the departments on the Siemens Energy Report, and working with those affected departments, working with our engineering department, assessing the priorities and the needs of the cities, costs, benefits associated with the projects that are recommended. And really, we're integrating now energy efficiency into our existing processes through the CIP process. So I'm hoping in the future we'll be here again talking about other energy efficiency projects that have been recommendations out of that Siemens report that we'll be looking at recommending. And then I think you're seeing it already. You know, you've seen it before. Any chance we get to save energy, we really are looking at doing that. So it was just a great opportunity. And so with that, I'll open it up if you have any questions.
Okay, questions? Thank you. Very good report. Boy, two good reports in a row. Thank you. Well done. Thanks. All right, the next item is to hear a presentation, discuss status update of the Central Maine draft plan, which you just saw referred to by Mr. Boucher. Mr. Wesley?
Second, we'll get this pulled up here, we hope. And we're good. Good morning, Mayor, Council. Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and review with you the status of where we are on our Central Maine plan process. Mr. Boucher just gave us some background on how it fits in with the overall project for the Energy Efficient Community Development Block Grant and working towards more energy efficient downtown area through mixed-use development and intensity development and so forth. This is, we also believe, an economic development project as we work to take advantage of the public improvements with light rail coming into the downtown area and be positioned so that with that new asset we'll be able to stimulate additional development and redevelopment within this area. So we're here today to give you an update on where we are with this project, because we think we are moving towards the end. There is a draft of the total document available online. It's a public review draft that we recently had at the open houses that we held. If somebody would like a hard copy, we can make those available to you, but they are available online. We did hold three public open houses at the end of September and 1st of October. We had a pretty good turnout to come to those meetings, so we got some good feedback. We did it in an open house format instead of a presentation format, so we could go around and visit individually with the citizens that came in and help explain and to them what was going on with the plan and the plan process and get their feedback. We got some very good comments and support for what we've done to this point with this plan. As you know, I've had a plan advisory committee that's been working with us for almost 2 years to help provide us some input and feedback with this plan as we develop it. We held what we believe is their last meeting a couple of weeks ago, and they have voted their recommendation for approval of the plan. We're still tweaking a few things they want us to work on, but they have pretty much completed their part of the process. And today here, we're just providing some background information. We're not requesting any action, but as always, if anybody has any comments for us at this point, we're welcome. We're glad to receive those. We are planning to come back on November the 17th at your study session to go through the plan document in more detail. And so we'll have about a month between now and then to have reviewed it, ask questions beforehand if you'd like, or again, if you need a hard copy, let us know. But we'll be back then really for that more detailed presentation. We go into the Planning and Zoning Board. We've been keeping them up to date as we've moved along, and we'll continue to do so, planning a public hearing with them at their December meeting. And then once they've taken action and made their recommendation, we'll be back to Council then for actual action. So again, through the, particularly through that November meeting, opportunity for you as a Council to give us any feedback, things to add into the plan before we get to P&ZE Board's recommendations. So our purpose today is to first give you just a very brief description of the overall plan document. So as you look at it, you'll understand how it's organized and what's in there. And then also to give an overview of what's Chapter 2 of that plan document, the executive summary, which we believe provides a very good overview of the plan. So somebody's just looking for that quick understanding of what's in the overall document can look at that. So the plan itself organized, as we finally drafted, into five chapters, a typical introduction telling why we're doing this and how it came about. Again, Chapter 2, the executive summary, we see that as a standalone document that can be pulled out that includes the vision, the primary goals, and the action plan, the things we intend to try to accomplish initially to implement the plan. As we worked on this plan, one of the things we felt was important to help people remember is that our downtown area is all areas. It's not a static place. The way it is today isn't like it was 20 years ago. It's not like it's going to be 20 years from now. Change happens. We can see some specific changes coming with light rail and other demographic changes and things along that nature. So we have an opportunity to really embrace that change and guide that change to accomplish with it what we want. And so we're talking about change in a positive way. So that's Chapter 3, describes those things, and then 4 lays out some of the tools we have available for us to direct and manage that change. So again, we accomplish what we'd like to see, take advantage of the light rail and create that economic development opportunity. And then in Chapter 5, we look a little bit more specifically at areas of the overall planning plan area. It's almost 4 square miles. It's got a lot of diversity from the core of the downtown area to what's happening out at Gilbert and Main. We felt it's important to look in more detail and establish those policies and directions for each of those areas. So that's what happens in Chapter 5, and as was mentioned a little bit ago, as you're talking about district cooling, we have sections that really delve into pretty close to the downtown area and what we think is appropriate for this and would tie in well with that discussion that Councilmember Glover was talking about with the district cooling. So that, again, is a quick overview of what the total document looks like as you look at that and read that. That's been a very interesting project to work on with the Plan Advisory Committee and how this has come together to really, because we're looking at a mixed-use urban environment with a lot of things happening with the office and the retail and the education and the cultural and those things coming together, we've tried to approach this in that very holistic, integrated way of how we can help those things come about. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Mr. McVeigh to talk about the executive summary and some of the details in there.
All right. Good morning, Mayor, Council. As John said, the executive summary, we intend to be a standalone document so that people could just pull from that, get a good idea of the vision and what people, what we've envisioned downtown and the central Main area as a whole to become in the future. But before we talk about the future, we had to make clear that downtown and the central Main area hasn't been the same throughout the years. As the pictures show, it's been changing forever, and the one thing that is constant is change. And I think that consistent with discussion you had earlier on central cooling, this plan is kind of that first step in trying to manage what happens in the future, so that we have a guideline, some format or some direction on what we want the downtown area and the central Main area to become. So it's a good jumping off point for maybe those more detailed discussions about specific city assets and what you want them to become later on. What's really bringing this forward, though, is that we have a lot of things that are changing that are going to affect our change, the catalyst out there. Light rail coming in through downtown has been shown to be a giant driver in redevelopment and infill development in other cities and also just here in the valley itself. The demographic shifts that are happening today, there's 70 million baby boomers, there's 70 million Gen Y, Gen X, Echo boomers. They represent a significant economic engine. There's a lot of money that is available through both of those, and they both are showing a greater tendency to want to live in more urban environments closer to transit, with more entertainment and more excitement. So our downtown area is a great opportunity for that. Also, people are looking at more environmental factors nowadays. They want to live in a place and feel like they are contributing to a more sustainable environment themselves. So oftentimes living in a more urban environment with that transit option is one way that they are accomplishing that. Quite a while when we were here before, we introduced our plan guiding principles, and we didn't quite have a vision made. We ended up working through our committee and sort of reverse engineering a vision based on how first we set up those guiding principles, and then we said, well, how do we make that clear that this is what we want to become in a concise statement? So we kind of have a two-part vision. One is just a nice catchphrase, Central Maine, alive with people. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it wrong. A place for people alive with options. But then if you read the entire vision, it kind of gives you that aspirational feeling that, you know, this is a place that you could live, you can work, you can choose to live down in the heart of the city, or you can choose to live in a nice, quiet residential neighborhood. You can work here, you can get on the rail, and then there's all kinds of entertainment options at the same time. So hopefully, as you read through the vision, you feel that this has kind of captured your impression of what you want downtown and the larger Central Maine area to become also. Again, we set this up based on five guiding principles. The first, prosperous community. It's that economic development aspect. We want to make sure that we have a robust economy and that we can sustain through despite any other economic downturns. People-friendly community, that's going to be key. If we want people to come and live here, we have to make it an environment that they want to live in, that they want to walk in, and they want to play in. The diverse community, social and cultural diversity, architectural diversity. We need this to represent culture and diversity of architecture at the same time to make it an interesting place. And a distinctive community. Very key to this is the idea that we need to remember our heritage, the historical nature of our downtown area, while at the same time creating new places that will be considered historical assets into the future. And then the last, the environmentally conscious. This has a couple of meanings. First, the idea that the environment and maintaining a good environment from, say, a code compliance standpoint is important, that we always maintain an attractive environment. Then the second side is the environmentally conscious is sustainable, that we have good development that's going to be lasting in the future, that's energy efficient, that, as Scott said, reduces vehicle miles traveled and reduces greenhouse gases at the same time. This is a nice colorful map. This is the result of almost 2 years of work. This is, instead of what we would normally call a plan map, this is a development character and building form map. So we've really based this plan on the character that we want each area to take. And as you see, the darker colors around the downtown area and then around each of the light rail stops show that the pattern that the committee saw into the future is concentrating our uses towards those nodes where there are going to be light rail stops. And then in between those nodes, maybe seeing a transition into more, it'll still be more of an urban environment, but maybe more of a residential, maybe more residential uses. And then maintaining as best we can those neighborhoods that show high quality residential areas, and then enhancing them as well. Let's see. The committee came up with a mere 23 pages of projects and programs that they think is necessary to help implement this plan. Some of them are important and need to be done right away. So we came up with what we call the action plan, and we categorize that, I think, into seven categories. The first of which is we think is going to be one of the most important tools that we have available to us is updating the zoning code to include that form-based code option. I think we'll be back here in a couple months with the consultant to present to you the public review document for the form-based code. And then also we have to talk about what we want to do with the existing downtown zoning districts into the future. The second step, we think, is the establishment of a citizens advisory committee or citizens committee that we would, as staff, would like to meet with maybe quarterly, half yearly, yearly, to make sure that the plan is still performing the way we want it to and reflecting the conditions of the city as it stands. And also, they would be a citizen participation tool. So should we get a future development in, we could use them as a standing group that we would say, you know, we have this group that's very interested in downtown and what happens in downtown or Central Maine in general. You want to propose a new development here, I think you should go talk to them first and get their input. And then when we come back through the decision makers, that'll help inform our recommendations. We have a lot of recommendations for developing guidelines and standards. We are proposing a very different environment in some instances than we have now. So to just say that we want to become a very urban place is one thing, but to have no guidelines to help us to decide what that should be and how that should look would be another. Marketing, we made sure to give the Economic Development Office plenty of work to do. Mesa can be marketed as a light rail, transit heavy place, a very green place and people-friendly place. There's all kinds of things that we can grab from this and use as a marketing tool to help bring in more employers, bring in more people, and make them want to build here. Incentives. So it's always a fun word, but we're putting in place the tools that we think will help rebuild or will help bring people in here to build new offices, new residential. But sometimes we have to look at what we can do to make that even more attractive. The form-based code is going to be one big incentive, but maybe there's other things we can look at, density bonuses, fee waivers, things along that line that might make it even that much more attractive to bring in new development. And then the final is that healthy living environments. We know that more urban places, the studies are out there, the more urban a place is, the more active people are. It results in a healthier environment, healthier people. But code compliance is also key to that, making sure that that we live in a place that's devoid of too much slum, too much blight, you know, so that we're actively pursuing an attractive environment. I think that that's going to help improve the place and make people want to be here more often. And then finally, again, tying into our district cooling plan, after we're done with this plan, the goal is to go out and try and model the plan and the highest and best uses that could come out of that plan, and then take a look at each of our utilities infrastructures and see what improvements may be necessary to facilitate redevelopment. If it makes sense, maybe we come back and we put those in advance of, similar to 5155 East Main. Is that you put that chilled water line in advance, knowing that something new could come in later on. So there's, I think, a lot of opportunities out there to make sure that we're going the right path. And that's all we have.
Great. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Ms. Kent? Mayor, Council wanted to mention, you have the Central Main Street plan. We'll come back in November 17th, so you have the opportunity, as John mentioned, to review. Wanted to mention also that John and Jeff have done a great job in leading this effort, but we do have a citizen committee that was really instrumental in developing this plan. About 15 or so residents, property owners, business leaders, and so forth in the community that met 21 times over the last 2 years. Chris Brady went last week and thanked them for all of their work, because this is they're very passionate individuals about the downtown. So we really appreciate their effort, because they are finished now. So now it's in the public review process, and we'll go through the process. But they did a really tremendous job with certainly John and Jeff's leadership. So just wanted to mention that. A lot of work.
Thank you. Anxious to see the next step, and I was really on some of your recommendations. I'm pleased to see that we're going to look at how this is now implemented. A great overall plan can be stifled if we get too prescriptive as to what goes on exactly what piece. And I think what we found out is that if you create a broad plan that's objective and vision driven, the market has a pretty good way of determining what will go where, and that entices investment. I think also that I like where you talked about establishing standards. I think with that flexibility as one of the incentives for investment, we should never shy away from requiring high standards along this. That's how you get this area to be renewed, to recover, and to really meet its obligation. We don't want development just for development's sake. I think that's been a challenge for this city for a long time. I don't think it impinges on people's rights. I think by giving them the flexibility, by encouraging quality development, we encourage long-term development, and I have no problem with that. So I appreciate seeing those objectives and really anxious to see how that this goes forward in the next steps as we implement it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Acknowledge receipt of various boards and minutes. I have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Do we have any reports?
Since Monday.
Not since Monday. Okay. Ms. Kent.
We have a very busy Saturday ahead of us. First is our Make a Difference Day, where we'll have volunteers around the city performing a number of service projects to be followed from 8 to 12. We have a household hazardous waste collection event at our East Mesa Service Center at Decatur, just a power in north of University, where residents can bring their household hazardous waste, electronics, and appliances, a free event. Then we have a financial planning day also from 10 to 2 at the main library, which is a free financial planning from certified financial planners. And then in the evening, we have the Parks 75th Anniversary Day of Play event from 6 to 9 at Red Mountain Park at 7745 East Brown Road. And then next week, I wanted to mention we have an IMESA Village Committee meeting on Wednesday, October 26th from 6 to 7:30 in Mekong Plaza, which is the southwest corner of Dobson and Main. And then also we will be canceling the October 27th study session. So our next study session won't be until Thursday, November 7th. So since we're not meeting next week, wanted to also mention City Hall at the Mall on October 29th from 10 to 2 at Superstition Springs Mall, where various departments will be located inside the mall, as well as we'll have police, fire, solid waste vehicles, and so forth outside of the mall, and invite all our residents to attend that event as well. And that is it for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Councilman Kavanaugh.
Mayor, I just want to also indicate we're having a coffee with the council member event tomorrow morning at the East Valley Institute of Technology in their boardroom, and I very much appreciate EVIT willing to host that. And our guest speaker will be Bill Jevgeniak, talking about economic development along the light rail line. And it should be a good event. We've had a very good response from the community RSVPing to it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I must have missed something. Did you say the next study session is the 3rd or the 7th?
7th, Thursday, November 7th.
So we don't have a study session on the 3rd.
Is that the Monday night, Council?
No, that's no. Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday the 3rd?
Oh, then maybe I have the wrong date here.
I don't have a calendar.
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Okay, well, so it's probably the 3rd.
The 3rd, then it's the 3rd.
The Thursday.
Then it's the 3rd,
okay.
Yeah, Thursday.
So we don't have
third.
One on the 27th.
Right, so it's the next following Thursday.
Right, okay, so we do not have one on next Thursday, the 27th, but we do have one, or tentatively
yeah,
have one on
the 3rd. Yeah, that would be the 3rd, because the 10th NOC, which we'll have to cancel.
And then, we don't have one on the 10th.
We won't have one on the 10th because the National League of Cities
and Conference. And we will have one on the 7th prior to the council meeting.
Yes.
Okay, good. All righty. No items.
No.
All right. We have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilmember Richens to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.